Welcome to From Rock Bottom to Badass. And today we have my new friend, Cassandra Farron. Is that how you say it? Okay. So tell the people, who are you?
So I'm an author, and I also mentor heart-led experts, coaches, and healers that want to write a life-changing book that makes a difference in the world.
Amazing. Can you tell me what kind of things that you would put after the words I am, besides author?
Yeah, I'm a mum, I'm a healer, I'm a friend. I'm a woman on a mission.
Oh yeah, same. Okay, so you identify with having like a rebirth story or a recovery journey, right? Can you tell us about that, and what does that mean to you to have a recovery?
Yeah, I look back on my life now and I almost don't recognize the girl who I was. And I'm actually very grateful to her. And it's weird because I speak about her like she's a different person, but I feel very like quite disconnected with who she was. And it's like everything that's happened in my life, it's almost like I've just broken away from so much of what she was and she was living for. Like, it's almost like unrecognizable. It's like I have been reborn.
Okay, so tell me about like the rock bottom then. Like, what was like the worst moments that made you feel like you had to change something?
So there's been several, but I'm aware that we're we have a time limit. But I've become a single parent 3 times. The first time was when my eldest son was just 6 months old, very unexpected. Anyone that's got kids can probably relate to, after you've having a child, like losing yourself and feeling quite isolated at times and quite down anyway, even if you have got a loving, supportive partner. So going from that to then having the relationship break down very quickly, I was then in a position where I could have lost my house. So to avoid that, I went back to work full-time immediately. There wasn't any space for my son to go to nursery full-time, so I was doing a 60-mile round trip to my parents' house so that they could care for my son whilst I worked. So I missed out on a lot of his childhood, working full-time just to try and keep our house. And in that time, I didn't really take care of myself emotionally and was just like a swan. You know, if anyone was to look at me, they might have thought I was getting by, but underneath I was struggling quite a lot. But I just did whatever I needed to do to keep a roof over our head. Fast forward 5 years and I'd got engaged and I'd got married, had another child. I won't go into all the details of what happened, but I ended my marriage and was devastated that history had repeated itself, and became a single parent then for the second time with 2 children, 2 different dads. And because I had gone self-employed by that point, I wasn't able to keep my house. So the house that I had fought so hard to keep had to be sold. Me and my children started life again with pretty much nothing. At that point, that is a year later after that, is when I set my business up with nothing more than a Facebook page, £400 overdraft and hope and determination. I didn't really have a clue what I was doing. I didn't have a business plan, but I just had this knowing that I wanted to make a difference in the world and I was going to give it my all. And at that point, the same times I started my business, that's when I was encouraged to start writing down my journey, which is what led me to publishing my first book. And I didn't expect that when I published my first book that my life would magically fall into place and that I would live off the royalties. But I also didn't expect that just 1 year later that our lives would collapse for the third time. We had moved in with another man. I'd been in a 3-year relationship by that point. And again, our relationship ended very suddenly. We were left without anywhere to live and we started our life again. So I built my business from there up. It wasn't easy. At times I was working two different freelance jobs and running a business and bringing up two children and caring for my mum who had dementia and needed support. And it has been incredibly hard, but throughout all of those difficulties, I have done so much personal development. I've taken a lot of responsibility for my own healing journey. So I didn't want to be bitter and angry about the past. I wanted to use it all as like ammunition to become the best version of myself that I could be. And it hasn't been easy and it hasn't happened overnight, but I'm sat here today in such an amazing place. I feel like I've made peace with my past and incredibly proud of the woman that I've become and looking forward to the future that awaits.
Wow, that is an incredible story. And I had chills like the entire time. Can you tell me how going through that experience of like having to start your life over and over again, like how did that change you as a person? What were the consequences and the effects that it had on you?
So the first time my life collapsed, I didn't cope very well. I hated myself. I self-destructed. I starved myself. I was convinced that I was fat, ugly, worthless, like you name it. I just felt like a complete failure. Failure as a daughter, failure as a mother, failure as an employee. I just felt like nothing I could do would work. Yeah. And the second time it happened, that's when I was introduced to mindfulness and meditation and visualization. And I just felt like I had nothing to lose by embracing these techniques in my life. And I just felt like by then taking responsibility for my own mental well-being and taking responsibility for my future, rather than looking back at my life with like anger, hatred, guilt, resentment, all of those really negative emotions, I was like almost like carrying those around with me in an emotional backpack. And it all started with the decision that no, I was not going to allow these men and I was not going to allow these situations to define me. I was not going to allow my past to define my future. So I felt like as soon as I took the responsibility for my emotional well-being and for my future, that was when things started to fall back into place. But it has taken a lot of work. It's not one of those you just wake up and decide to think positive and everything falls into place. Like there's been lots of challenges, but it's really helped me to build my resilience, like not sweat the small stuff. There's just no point in wasting energy on little things that don't matter. But I feel like I've become a lot more grounded in the process. I have a lot more compassion for people. I have much better boundaries now. And I can look back at every single one of those situations and see how it's benefited me. And I've taken the good from it. And I no longer look back with any negative feelings. So it was all part of the journey, if that doesn't sound too cliche.
No, not at all. I totally get it. Can you tell me like what helped you survive your experience, like emotionally and mentally, like what just like kept you okay in the moments?
So there's two things that really motivate me. One is not wanting to go back to the girl that I was, and it's not wanting to go back to the life that I was living. So I don't want to go back to that girl who was living under a dark shadow, who was scared of speaking her truth, who was scared of not shining her light. I don't want to go back to that girl that was convinced she was fat and ugly and worthless and that she was a waste of space in this world. Like I refuse to go back to that shadow. And I also refuse to go back to living the life of sacrifice where I was living on a very small amount of money, trying to feed my children. Like, do I spend £20 on food shopping, or do I go to the networking meeting? Can I afford the PE kit, or do I invest in the online course? Like, I've made a lot of sacrifices with my children and my business, and a lot of people wondered why I was doing it and were asking me, like, why don't you just go and get a job? And as I explained, at times I was working two different freelance jobs and my business just to pay my bills. So that's one thing that motivates me, because I never want to go back to that. And then the other part of the motivation is looking forward to the future that I'm creating, being able to give myself and my children choices, being able to have peace of mind in my heart, having peace of mind in my head, knowing that we have food in our cupboards, knowing that we can go out for day trips and create memories together. That motivates me as well, knowing that that's the life that I'm living, and that's the life that I will continue to live.
Amazing. Can you talk about, is there a spiritual part of your journey?
Yeah, absolutely. So when my first rock bottom hit, I was introduced to Reiki. I could say it's by coincidence, but they say that the teacher appears when you're ready. And when I was working in a temporary job that I absolutely hated, I ended up sitting next to a lady who just so happened to be a Reiki master. And she just so happened to be looking for somewhere to live, and I had a spare room that I was looking to rent out. So it was quite funny how she trains me in Reiki, but then she also moved into my house. So it was like win-win. So I'd never heard of Reiki before. I knew that it could help you to relax and to feel less stressed. That's all I knew the very first time I went for a treatment. But when I had my first treatment and I had my eyes closed and I had tears coming out of my eyes, I was just stunned. I wondered, like, am I crying? Have I got something in my eyes? Like, where is this coming from? And then the lady explained to me about the mind and the body connection, and that she felt I had a lot of emotions to release. She said, it's not my job to counsel you, but I feel like that's what your body needed today, to release that emotion. And my mind was blown. I remember walking away from that session just thinking, wow, like, how did my body know that? And I didn't know it. And I was fascinated. So I decided to buy a book on Reiki just to learn more about it. And by the end of the book, I decided that I wanted to train as a Reiki practitioner. And I never dreamed that I would ever have the confidence to do it on other people. Initially, it was just for myself and for my children. But in one of my jobs, I met a man who was diagnosed with cancer, and I offered him Reiki treatment. I said, look, obviously, you know, there's no guarantee that this might help you. You know, you still have your conventional medicine, but maybe if this could help you just to sleep better or just to manage the side effects, then I would be happy to offer you some Reiki treatment. So I ended up doing Reiki for him. As a result of that, I went to volunteer at a cancer charity, and I was giving Reiki treatments to people who had cancer. And I then progressed to doing my Reiki level two, and had an opportunity to work at a homeless centre. So the very first Christmas, when I'd split up with my ex-husband, I wasn't going to be with my children on Christmas Day. And a lot of people thought that I was crazy, but I make my decisions based on what I feel is best for me and my family. So I wasn't going to be with my children on Christmas Day, and I was looking for something that I could do instead of, like, drinking lots of wine and crying and watching Bridget Jones. So that could have been option A, but I was like, no, we're not going there. So option B, I found out about a homeless centre in London that were offering all different types of services for homeless people on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. There were going to be hairdressers there. There were going to be doctors, dentists. There was going to be chiropodists. There was going to be art therapy, music, and there was going to be holistic therapy. So I applied to be a Reiki practitioner at the centre, and that is what I did on Christmas Day and Boxing Day. I gave numerous treatments to homeless people. And that was quite a definitive moment in my journey, because I really could have done the whole self-pity thing on that Christmas Day and wallowed in what I didn't have. But I came home from working at this homeless centre, just feeling so blessed and so grateful that I was driving back to a house, that I had a bed to sleep in, that I had a duvet, I had food in my fridge. My children were going to come back the next day. It wasn't like I was never going to see them again. I wasn't carrying my life around in a carrier bag like so many of the people that I had met over the last 2 days. So absolutely, like, holistic therapy and being spiritual and having a belief that somewhere along the line that, you know, all of this would come together. I've always had that deep knowing that I had a purpose and that I would make a difference in the world, that I would make my children proud. And at times that has dwindled and it has been hard to keep that faith, but it hasn't ever gone away, and I'm really pleased that I kept the faith.
Good for you. What are you still working on? What do you struggle with?
So in my business, my main focus now is helping other authors to share their story, because I had no idea about how cathartic it was going to be to write my journey down and to share it. I didn't even know initially that I was writing a book. I was just doing some homework that I'd been set by a coach. She said to me, "You're a lot more inspiring than you realize. I want you to start writing down your journey and everything will become apparent." I had no idea that that would lead me onto publishing 7 books and mentoring other authors. But I also had no idea about the massive healing powers that that would have, because when you write your journey down, it evokes a lot of emotion. It takes you back into, it's almost like having a filing cabinet that you've just put away and shut the door. And then when you're writing about your journey in an emotive way, it's like you're opening up that filing cabinet and processing the emotions of that experience. And it helps you to see your life, and it helps you to see your past in a whole different way from a whole new perspective. And I believe when you do that with the right intention, that you're doing it to help other people that are still in the dark, people that are going through similar situations to you, it's one of the biggest healing tools, I believe, that I've got, like, in my healing toolbox. And this is what I'm passionate about helping other people to do. So that's my main focus at the moment, to help other people share their journey through the power of writing.
Amazing. Do you have any favorite quotes or sayings or mantras or prayers or mottos?
Yeah, can I quote myself?
Fuck yeah, you can. You're quotable. You're an author.
Okay, so let's go. So this came to me when I was writing my first book. And I still have to remind myself of it, but I love it. So, do not allow the ghosts from your past to steal the happiness from your future.
I got it right. And
so do not allow the ghosts from your past to steal the happiness from your future. And your ghosts aren't just people. They might be situations. They might be negative beliefs. Anything that is no longer serving you. You just have to put the bloody backpack down. Like, stop carrying that around with you everywhere. It is not serving you. Take the lessons from it and just put it down. So yeah, that's one of my quotes.
Beautiful quote. I love that. Okay, so let's say you're mentoring a person that is exactly like you, exactly where you were back at your rock bottom. What is one piece of advice that you would give to somebody going through that exact same rebirth scenario?
So I love the saying that you can find a way or you can find an excuse. And I think that when you're at rock bottom, when your life has fallen around you and you're like, you know, what the actual fuck is going on here? Like, you're angry at everyone, you're angry at yourself. The easiest option at that given moment is just to quit, just to give up and blame everybody else. You know, that's the easy option. So there's so many excuses that you could find not to move forward with your life, not to move forward with your purpose, whatever that may be. However, find a way or find an excuse. Find a way is the only way, I believe, that you will move forward to really feeling like you're giving your life meaning, you're giving your life purpose, you're living for yourself and not in the shadow of anyone else.
Yeah.
So follow your heart. It knows the way, but you have to tune into your heart to find the answers.
Can you tell us where you're going from here? What's next on your journey?
There's actually a beautiful journey that's unfolding, and I can't say too much about it, but perhaps I will keep in touch and let you know, because I've done something that is, it almost feels beyond my wildest dreams, but it's actually not now beyond my wildest dreams, because it's something that I started almost a year ago. It's in progress. It's making very good progress. And I would love to keep you posted on that. But this
What's
is
the
way.
Intention of it? What is it going to do? Can we?
The intent is to create a global ripple of empowerment.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have very big dreams, and I would always say to people, like, just you go after those, like, do not let anyone else's doubts or negativity hold you back. Like, you follow your heart, you follow your dreams, like anything is possible. So yeah. Keep believing.
So if people want to find you, where do they go on the internet?
Yeah, so all of my social medias are all under my name, so Cassandra Farren. If you are interested in writing, if you've ever thought about writing a book, or you're interested about how you can make peace with your past through writing, then I have a free group on Facebook, which is called Heart Led Authors with Cassandra Farren, and you are more than welcome to come and join. I share lots of advice and guidance in there about how to start. Even if you've got no experience, I will just add that I don't have a degree. I've never had a writing mentor. My last job was actually as a cleaner. Prior to that, I was a mortgage advisor. So anybody can do this, and I give you all the help and lots of support to get you started. So you're more than welcome to come and join the group. Very safe and supportive community. And I would love to see you there.
Well, I'm going to go join, and you should all go join too, and go follow Cassandra Farren and all the stuff. She is amazing. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Rachel. It's been a pleasure.
This podcast episode is brought to you by my book, How to Wear a Crown, A Practical Guide to Knowing Your Worth. How to Wear a Crown is an easy-to-read guidebook that gives its readers digestible content and step-by-step instructions on how to increase one's sense of self-worth. It's a practical guide to knowing your worth that will allow you to dive deep into my personal experiences with learning self-love and gaining unshakable self-worth. It's a witty but intelligent book that will break down the intense process into 4 rules. 1. Speak to yourself like royalty. 2. Treat yourself like royalty. 3. Carry yourself like royalty. And 4. Honor yourself like royalty. Each category discusses multiple topics related to emotional growth and techniques necessary to drastically improve your self-worth and help you feel like you deserve more and better things in your life. You can get How to Wear a Crown, A Practical Guide to Knowing Your Worth on my favorite store in the entire world, Amazon.com. And it's usually available to ship within 1 to 2 days. So go check it out now. All of the info that you need should be in the show notes. And I will see you guys later. Mwah, bye.